Blog Talk Radio.
Up, everybody. Welcome to a special edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I am, of course, William Mamo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. What's up? I'm doing good. How's it going out there?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm glad to have you on a special night, Friday night, instead of the usual Saturday night at 11. Both of us, going to be busy tomorrow, so we won't be able to do the show. So that's why we're doing it right now. We got a busy show. We're going to be talking about, our thoughts about, Summer Slam. I'm thinking about that prank call. That almost said Super Slam.
The Super Slam.
So we're going to do, our thoughts about the SummerSlam pay-per-view that happened on Sunday night, and the aftermath of, the pay-per-view event on Raw and SmackDown. And, of course, we're going to talk about the latest stuff in sports, like how the Mets are doing lately, the Yankees, as they, push towards the wild card. And, the Jets and even the Jets and Giants, preseason game, which, the Giants won. But most importantly, we want to hear from you if you can. And, feel free to get your voices heard. And the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. And, with that, let's let's talk about the Yankees. Obviously the Yankees are 30 games over 500. They've had some key injuries with Sabathia just coming off the DL. And, Judge, he's been, suffering from the DL as well. Lance Lynn had his first horrible start recently, but, he's been great. For the most part. And, the Yankees, they've been last couple of, days, they've been kind of playing up to their, their challengers, But, I know there's some fans, Yankee fans, who are, possibly worried because they want to see Yankees firing all cylinders as they approach the playoffs next, in October, but, nobody is perfect. The Yankees are not gonna, break the Mariners record. Yankees are gonna win 100 or so games. If on their pace, they'll win, well over 100. But they're gonna, no team is perfect. So you're gonna go through these rough spots, but. The Yankees have the history that they bounce back from stuff like this. And if my memory serves me right, they lost, 7-5 to Orioles.
They won the game. They won the game tonight, 7-5.
7-5, my fault. Yankees did win, my fault.
Yeah. Right now, with all the injuries, with that said, they're 80-47. 80-47. Think of that for a team that's had injuries this year, and has second best record in baseball. But yet they're just fighting for a wild card now, which is hard to believe. But that just shows you how good the Red Sox have been playing, who are 90-40. They're on pace to win 110 games. That's how good they've been playing. So, the Yankees are just. They just are unlucky to be in the same division with the Red Sox, who've been playing lights out. But not recently, because the Red Sox, right now, their schedule gets tougher. And, you know, they've been losing lately to the Indians. They lost tonight to the Rays. I think the series before that, they lost some games to, was it the Mariners or A's? I think it was the A's, the Oakland A's. They lost a series to before the Indians.
Wasn't it Marlins? I think it was, you're talking about
before. No, it was A's before the Indian series.
My fault. I think you're talking about the series before the Orioles, but my bad.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the Red Sox, the Red Sox series. That the Red Sox, the Red Sox are coming back down to earth now. And right now, Yankees are 8.5 games back, about 7 games in loss column. So it's not out of the question for Yankees to catch the Red Sox. I mean, if you remember 1978, Yankees were, like, back 14 games in July. And they played a one-game playoff game. You know, on the last day to win the division and go to the playoffs. But the Bucky Dent game, exactly.
Yep.
So, hey, history could repeat itself again, you know. It's the 40-year anniversary, right, of Bucky Dent. So, who knows? That might happen again this year. But, you know, Yankees just have to continue to stay afloat and until some of these guys get back off the injured list. And but right now, you know, they have the second best record in baseball. I mean, what more can you ask for, right?
Right. Absolutely. I mean, the only negative spot about the Yankees recently was basically, you know, Chapman. He's on the DL, and I think he had a cortisone shot or something like that. Like he needs to be reevaluated. But, Bird's replacement, Voit, he hit two bombs today. So, you can't ask for anything more, you know. And, it's too early to panic, you know. The Yankees are like 30 games.
There's no panic. I mean, I don't think there's panic. There's just some worry about, you know, the playoffs approaching, about, you know, if the Yankees could potentially be knocked off by who they play in the playoffs. Let's say if they play the Astros or the A's, you know, the Yankees are going to have to be healed up to play those teams. And they're also going to have to, you know, be consistent with the scoring, especially, you know, the past month where they've been leaving a lot of men on base. But, I don't think it's a panic, but, you know, a little worry. You know, because of the injuries and inconsistencies of this team.
Right. And you guys are playing a doubleheader tomorrow.
Yeah.
You got J.A. Happ is going to be battling Cashner.
Oh, Happ has been great.
Yeah, absolutely. So you guys should definitely win that game. But then again, you might face Hatchabonus. Or Cashner.
What you call me?
Hatchabonus? I guess Adrenaline Sabonis wasn't available. So and then Sunday night, ESPN, of course. You know, if Yankees are playing, you know, it's going to be an ESPN game. So Yankees versus Orioles, Severino, you know, that's a marquee matchup. You got Severino going for his 17th start, going against Dylan Bundy, no relation to Al Bundy. but you know, Yankees should win this series, you know, no doubt about it. So that's the state of the Yankees right there.
Yeah.
And you know, it's the 20th anniversary of the 98 Yankees, so.
Yeah, they had never know what ceremony last weekend, which was great.
Right. And, a glaring, omission was Jeter not being there in person. But, of course, you know, Jeter, he's very detail-oriented with, you know, turning the Marlins organization around. But he did, you know, make a video, you know, for the fans, which I'm sure, you know, you've been watching it over and over again just before this show started.
Yeah, it was a great message. Glad that he was able to. Well, he wasn't there in person, but glad that he was able to make an appearance via satellite message. You know, the one guy that I'm surprised wasn't there, El Duque. We didn't get to see El Duque, who I thought was like one of the most creative pitchers we've ever seen in baseball, and part of that Yankee dynasty. I mean, fortunately, he couldn't be there, but I would have loved to see him.
Yeah, that was El Duque's year, man. Like, they even had that commercial with El Duque.
The leg kick.
You know, the night of El Duque with the leg kick and everything.
I always did like that
leg kick. I mean, not against the Mets, but, you know, it was an interesting, you know, pitching, you know, style.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. You know, it confused hitters. Hitters didn't know if his leg was coming at them or the ball.
he looked like Dowsum on the mound from Street Fighter, you know. With flexibility. Got to take somebody on pitching. But yeah, that's a huge omission as well, man. Luke, you know, he's awesome, man.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And then you know, shift gears, you know, quickly with the Mets. They've been playing, you know, a lot better, you know. Even Vargas, of all people, his last three starts, he's pitched well. I mean, I'm shocked, you know. If he keeps this up, he might go into the Mets Hall of Fame. But
yeah.
All seriousness, man. I mean, his ERA is probably in the sevens or six after he's pitched well these last couple of starts. But, hey, man, God willing, if he could keep this up, you know, hopefully they could trade him. But he looks like he's turned it around, you know, to the lefty guy they could count on these past couple of the guy who they thought they were getting in the signing. But for $8 million, man, or per year, man, they should ship that guy. I think he improved to 4-9 or 4-8. Yeah, his ERA now is 6.96. So. He's not in danger of surpassing DeGrom as the ace of the staff by any means. And speaking of DeGrom, he pitched great again yesterday. He had a pitching duel against I'm trying to remember who it was. Was it Scherzer? Let me see. Darn. Who's the team they were facing yesterday? Giants. Baumgartner. Yeah, they both pitch well, but unfortunately for him, DeGrom, they gave up an unearned run, and then he also gave up an RBI hit to Baumgartner for the two runs. Todd Frazier only hit the solo home run against Baumgartner. Baumgartner went eight innings, and he got the win. DeGrom, you know, he walked four people, but. You know, he had the four walks. He struck out 10, but you know, he gave up two runs. One of it was unearned, and his ERA remains the same, 1.71. And the funny thing is that same day, Thursday, Scherzer, same thing. He pitched similar to DeGrom. He had a loss as well. I think he walked four people, struck out 10. Gave up a few runs, if I'm serving me right, and he lost. Nola, he pitched well, and now his ERA is the same as Scherzer. So Nola, he's a serious candidate for this Cy Young race. This is a three-man Cy Young race. And
yeah.
Nola, if he keeps this up and help the Phillies, you know, get this division, I mean, he could be a shoo-in for this wild card. I mean, for the Cy Young.
Yeah, definitely.
You know. So, yeah, this is getting scary, man. Because DeGrom, he has to win. He will have to win all out. And the guys have to show up for him. But, you know, that hasn't been the case all year. So now DeGrom is 8-8. So.
Yeah, hopefully you could, Mets can score some runs for him. Try to win him some of these games.
That's been the struggle all year. So, we'll see what happened with that. I mean, Syndergaard, he's been winning some games. He hasn't been shaky. His kryptonite has been allowing people on base and stealing because he doesn't hold any runners. So, and not to mention the catchers that the Mets have, they couldn't throw out Mo Vaughn if he was blindfolded, you know, trying to run the bases. So, you know, it's really bad. So, you know, that's Syndergaard. If he's not striking people out and he is allowing people on base, whether it's walk or hits, you know, it's a scary night for the Mets. You know, not to mention the Mets always cause a lot of errors, but to their credit today, they played well. Jay Bruce came back, played his first game since his injury, and hit his fourth home run of the year. And, you know, he's going to be the first baseman for the rest of the year. And according to Callaway, he might be the first baseman next year. So as of right now, Peter Alonso, even though this guy's hitting .278, 32 home runs in the minor leagues, and leads the minor leagues in 109 RBIs, this guy most likely is not even going to get a September call-up because they have all these people trying to play first base. They have him. They have Wilmer Flores, who, I mean, he has an iron glove, you know, on the field. And Dominic Smith, who's their best defensive first baseman, you know, they recently sent him down. And he recently cost us a game earlier this week against the Giants because they had him in left field. And he collided with, I think, Rosario, and that cost them, I think, the game-tying run, if my memory serves me right, in the ninth or something like that. So, you know. No, I think it was a game-leading. It was something like that. Like, that would have been the last time. It was like a Castillo kind of play, you know. But, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with that play as a Yankee fan. You talk about it all the time. The ES gives it every day to remind the Yankees of that great victory. But, you know, to the Mets' credit, they won. Final score 3-1. So, you know, too little, too late. It would have been great if they could call up Alonso and see what they have, you know. But, you know, I know he's supposedly a defensive liability, but who isn't on this team that's a defensive liability on, you know, playing first base? So it is what it is. But shifting gears, let's talk preseason football. The Giants defeated the Jets, and the final score was 22-16. Darnold, he played well, but, you know, didn't have any touchdowns. And, you know, it's preseason, but, you know, he showed some poise.
Teddy Bridgewater looked pretty good.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater looked good, you know, all preseason long, especially, you know, week two as well. So,
yeah
there's a lot of teams that are interested in him, you know. But I'd say, you know, they should definitely hold on to him. You know, whether he's going to be the backup guy or start, if they want to start him and, you know, have, you know, them start a few games, like Darnold, you know, observe a little bit and then throw him into the fire. But the way how Darnold is playing, I'd say he looks ready. He looks ready to go. So I think they should start Darnold and have Teddy Bridgewater, you know, as the backup. You know, make him play, you know, make some plays on the field, you know, relieve him a little bit. And, you know, put him in the game. But the safe bet is that they might start Bridgewater. And if Bridgewater, you know, can't maintain, you know, the success he's had in the preseason thus far and in his young career, you know, you go with the rookie.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you got McCown also.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about McCown. Well, McCown's still on the team. I thought he was let go or cut or released.
Nah, he's back with the team. He was injured. Oh. But, yeah, he's back with the team. And,
Yeah, I mean, they got nothing to lose. Why not? Yeah, I mean, just start Sam Darnold, see what he's got. I mean, if he struggles, you always have Bridgewater as a backup, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's that. So, yeah, let's you know, move on to SummerSlam. And what did you think about it overall?
I thought it was a good pay-per-view. You know, there was some good matches. I liked my favorite was the Seth Rollins against Ziggler match. I thought that was the best match of the night. Miz Daniel Bryan match was good as well. The Roman Reigns Brock Lesnar match was very predictable. Like the
yep.
Becky Lynch heel turn against Charlotte. But yeah, I mean, it had its moments. I thought it was a good pay per view.
All right, let's dive right into it. You know, Cien Almas, Andre Cien Almas, and, you know, Zelina Vega, his manager, they teamed up and they defeated Lana and Rusev. You know, no surprise there. I mean, they did get their revenge on SmackDown because Aiden English stopped, I think it was Andre, you know, Almas from using a chair, finally, after like 8 attempts of trying to stop Almas and Vega from, you know, doing some shady stuff. And you know, English keep crossing them, you know, the victories, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Saturday, you know, on SmackDown in their rematch, which, you know, rematch is the theme for both Raw and SmackDown. You know, they did get their revenge. So they're reunited. The Rusev Day, all three members of Rusev Day, and that is great because it looked like WWE was trying to cut Rusev Day down, but
yeah,
as of right now, it looks like they're back together, and the Cruiserweight Championship, Cedric Alexander, you know, he retains the title against Drew Gulak, I should say. And, yeah, that's basically it. What was I going to say? The B team, surprisingly, they defeated the Revival. I think that they picked
B-team,
them to win.
B team.
go. What's my problem with the match? I felt like, I know Matt Hardy is hurt, you know. And it looks like it's a career-threatening. It looks like it's a career-ending injury because it looks like his I think his pelvis fused with his back or something like that. That's
wow.
How much damage he's doing because you know he's done a lot of leg drops and all those years of wrestling, 20 years of wrestling, you know.
Yeah.
So you know it's having an impact on his body. So I think right now I heard he might be working as a producer on Raw. So, yeah, his career looks like it's over. You know, hopefully that's not the case, but that's what it looks like, you know.
Wow.
A sad way. And I thought a great way for his career would have ended is if they would have had the triple threat match, the match that they had on Raw, they should have had it on SummerSlam. Because I felt there was no need to rush that triple threat match. And then, you know, then it became, as a result, it became a, you know, a B team versus Revival matchup, you know,
yeah.
Which I felt, you know, if this was the end of Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy's, the leader of worlds, you know, tag team, they should at least lost on SummerSlam. I mean,
I agree.
It makes more sense instead of just having them have a semi rematch on Raw again. I mean, it just didn't make any sense whatsoever to me. But in any case, the B team retains, which I'm assuming they're going to retain until the Shield eventually takes it from them, and then Dean Ambrose will finally have a title. But we're going to get into that. We'll talk a little bit more about the Shield members, and yay, let's just dive into them right now, because Seth Rollins with Dean Ambrose, the Lunatic Fringe, you know, at his corner, he was able to defeat Dolph Ziggler with the aid of Drew McIntyre at ringside as well. And yeah, this was an exciting matchup, as everybody expected. And, you know, Seth Rollins, you know, he put him and Dolph Ziggler put on a clinic. And, you know, Dean Ambrose rarely interfered. For a Lunatic Fringe, he pretty much kept his cool for most of the match until Drew McIntyre, you know, tried to interfere towards the end. And as a result, you know, Seth Rollins hit the curb stomp, and he became the new Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah, that was definitely my favorite match of the night. You know, the high flying, the athleticism, you know, the technical wrestling. I love that stuff. And, you know, having Dean Ambrose at ringside to keep, Drew McIntyre at bay.
Mm-hmm.
And both, but it's funny, both Dean Ambrose and Drew McIntyre, they look like they're on steroids now compared to how they look like, you know, 5 years ago.
Allegedly.
Right? Both of those dudes.
Yeah, I mean, Ambrose looked like he totally looks different. Like, he's definitely more built. I mean, he had 9 months, to just focus on his body and, you know, got a different look, haircut and everything. So he got a different look. Like, he really looks like a Lunatic Fringe now.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, you know, it really suits his character. It was a surprise, a pleasant surprise for his character.
Yeah, it's a new look.
And,
you know,
now he has we're going to talk about them a little bit more in a few minutes. Then you got the New Day, that's Big E and Xavier Woods, and, of course, you know, Kofi Kingston at ringside. They technically defeated the Bludgeon Brothers because of disqualification, because the Bludgeon Brothers used their sledgehammer to end the match. And this match was really good, you know, but it ended. But luckily for us, WWE fans, or as WWE loves to, you know, shove it down people's throat, the WWE Universe, you know, we had a much better matchup on SmackDown. You know, it was a no disqualification, a hardcore type match. And yeah, that was the match we should have had at SummerSlam, you know.
Yeah.
Another rematch, and you'll see a theme here with these rematches following SummerSlam. They're pretty much 50-50 booking. You know, you lose at the pay-per-view, and then you get the other person gets their revenge in the next rematch. So that was the case here. Technically, New Day did win on SummerSlam because they won by DQ, but they didn't win the title. But that was a different story on SmackDown, because in the rematch, it was Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston teaming up, and Big E, you know, didn't interfere or anything, because he was, nursing his ribs because as a result of the Bludgeon Brothers attack, you know, at SummerSlam. And I thought this was a great match. I mean, that's the team that, you know, WWE should be using more. Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston, and have Big E as the heavyweight champion guy. You know, similar to what WWE is going to do with the Shield, or what they did with the Shield previously. You know, they have Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston, like Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, being that the default tag team. You know, with occasionally Roman Reigns, or in this case Big E, you know, using the Freebird rule to fight. But the big guys like Big E and Roman Reigns, those guys should just be mainly heavyweight guys. And, you know, occasionally fighting the tag teams, you know, using the Freebird rule. That's what they should do with New Day.
I think that's the way they're heading. You know, they're probably going to give Big E more of a push now, maybe towards the Universal title, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows? But I think that they're leaning towards that, giving him like a a shot at one of these titles.
Yeah. And I love to see the two high flyer guys, who rarely team up together, fight each other. And actually, Xavier Woods, he got the victory, because Xavier Woods have been always looked at as the weaker link in the New Day, even though they're a cohesive unit. Mm-hmm. They're all bring something to the table. They're all equal. They're all equally talented. Big E, he got the power. Kofi, he has the technical ability. And Xavier Woods, he has like a combination of the power and the agility and the high flyingness of Kofi. So, it's good to see Kofi and Xavier getting that victory, because if you remember, there was like a few years ago, they were, pretty much criticizing Xavier Woods as the weakest link. I don't remember if it was I think it was probably the Wyatt book, the Wyatt family that was teasing them, probably when he was afraid of Bray Wyatt when they formed that compound, that copycat of the Final Deletion match that WWE had like 2 years ago.
Yeah, right.
But good thing they, congratulations to the New Day, they got the title. And then moving on, Braun Strowman, he defeated Kevin Owens, which wasn't a surprise, but WWE was swerving people that Kevin Owens would lose the title, would lose the briefcase, but he didn't. He squashed Kevin Owens, even though I thought, it's predictable, but I did pick Kevin Owens to win by some shenanigans. So
I
should have won
more of a match.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And speaking of which, if you want to hear about how I met Braun Strowman, feel free to check out my Sports Urban Legend TV YouTube episode, the latest one. So feel free to check that out. You'll hear my story there. And then moving on, you had Charlotte Flair. She defeated Becky Lynch and Carmella. Carmella lost the title in the triple threat match for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. And, and then, of course, the bigger story, Becky Lynch, she turned heel, which, Becky Lynch is way more popular than Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair should have turned heel, because Charlotte Flair is a natural heel. Becky Lynch is, she's the prototypical babyface, out of the three. But hey, if this is gonna lead to Becky Lynch finally winning the title again, hey, I'm all for it. And she cut a good promo on SmackDown, so hey, wish her all the best.
Yeah, I like this Becky Lynch. She's feisty. She's fierce. She has bad attitude. I like it now. Now they're giving a push now towards getting that title from Charlotte. So I'm loving it.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you for sure. And another person who's getting a push right now is Samoa Joe. He defeated AJ Styles by DQ when Samoa Joe got AJ Styles to lose his cool, and AJ Styles basically was hitting Samoa Joe with a chair, which caused the disqualification. So as a result, AJ Styles lost the match, but he didn't lose the WWE title. So they're going to have a rematch, most likely at Hell in the Cell. And I don't think they announced the stipulation, but I think I was talking about this last week. So if I was a betting man, I would take a leap of faith, a huge leap of faith, and guess that at the Hell in the Cell pay-per-view event next month, the match that is going to be for the WWE title will be a Hell in the Cell match, because the pay-per-view event is called Hell in the Cell match. It's Hell in the Cell. So that should be the stipulation.
Yeah, that's a good stipulation too.
Oh yeah, Hell in a Cell is my favorite stipulation match, so I'm all for it. You know, this is a perfect way for the feud, and I definitely see Samoa Joe having finally winning the title, but I'll give my official predictions once the pay-per-view event is around. But as of right now, I think Samoa Joe is going to finally get that title. And then, before The Miz defeated Daniel Bryan, he had a mini reunion with the Miztourage, and the Miztourage, which is now known as the B-Team, they mentioned that they're in support of Daniel Bryan because the B&B team stands for Bryan, Daniel Bryan. So, you know, but all, even though the whole arena was rooting for Daniel Bryan and yours truly, as I suspected, unfortunately, The Miz would defeat Daniel Bryan. And as a result, the feud continues. And now The Miz is going to tag team with his wife again for like the second time since the when John Cena and the other Bella, Nikki Bella, teamed up, and of course Miz and his wife Maryse lost that match. But now this time Daniel Bryan's teaming up with the other Bella, Brie Bella, in a mixed tag team match at Hell in the Cell. So I'm guessing Daniel Bryan and Brie is going to get the victory there. But what are you going to say?
Go ahead. No, I was going to say that I was expecting Daniel Bryan to win this match at SummerSlam against The Miz and finally, you know, put all the talks that Miz is his mentor and, you know, Miz is better than him. You know, I was looking forward to Daniel Bryan winning that, but, you know, Miz ended up winning that. But I think there'll be a rematch, a Survivor Series between the two. Maybe even a steel cage or some other stipulation after this mixed tag team match that they have.
Yeah, but I think they should have saved the rematch for WrestleMania. Or Survivor Series for the second match. Have Daniel
that's
Bryan.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And then have the rubber match. Have the rubber match at WrestleMania to determine who wins the feud. This new feud, you know. That's probably
what will happen. You know,
no, but
have
why did they ruined it? They ruined it with the tag mixed tag. I mean, there's no need for the mixed tag match.
Yeah, but you know, WWE these days they make them have a zillion matches. I mean, look at AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. I mean, how many matches did they have?
Yeah.
You know, this year alone.
Gazillion.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, this. Even after this mixed tag match, I'm sure you'll see them fighting over and over again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then speaking of people fighting over and over again, Finn Balor defeated Baron Corbin. But this time, for the first time in, like, almost 2 years, Finn Balor made a debut as the Demon, Balor. And, of course, he defeated him quickly. But then on Raw against Roman Reigns, He didn't use the Demon gimmick for the title, and of course he lost. And then of course, you know, the Shield beat up on Braun Strowman after he tried to cash in the Money in the Bank on Monday Night Raw. And of course, we're gonna get into Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar in a minute or so. Okay, since Shinsuke Nakamura, he defeated Jeff Hardy, retains the United States Championship. No surprise there. Ronda Rousey, she defeated Alexa Bliss like easily with the ease, man. Like it was like a four minute match, and Ronda Rousey was just toying with her and got the submission. So congratulations to Ronda Rousey being the first woman to be the first Universal Champion and also the WWE Raw Women's Champion, or any champion for that matter. So congratulations to her. And last but not least, Roman Reigns defeats Brock Lesnar. No surprise there. And before the match started, Braun Strowman announced he was going to cash it in, which surprised everybody. And this was WWE's ploy to make you know, people not walked out of the arena because no one cared about Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar for the 85th millionth time that we were seeing this match. And no surprise there, after Brock Lesnar attacked Braun Strowman to prevent him from cashing it in after the match, he turned around after he got distracted by Braun Strowman after he beat up Braun Strowman, and Roman Reigns, of course, cowardly went for the spear and got the windfall. I mean, he should have had like a much better victory, you know, a much more sound victory. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's legit, it's legal, hit the spear. I know it's supposed to be shrewd and smart. He hit the spear once his back was turned, but I don't know. I felt it needed to be a little bit more. And then afterwards, you know, that was it. And the fans weren't happy because Braun Strowman didn't cash it in. So then next Monday Night Raw, Finn Balor lost to Roman Reigns. And Braun Strowman was about to cash it in again. And then the Shield reunited and beat the crap out of Braun Strowman. So, you know, that's what happened, man. And it is what it is. So it's going to be interesting what... you know, I think the Shield is gonna they're gonna get the tag team titles off B team extremely quickly, and you know, they're gonna all have tag team titles basically. Well, basically, I guess we're running out of time, so I want to thank you, Max, for being on the show. I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to this episode of Sports and the Legend. I'll see you guys next week. Saturdays at 11, and also check out my YouTube show and find out how I met Braun Strowman. So he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace, everybody.